Hello all, this is Craig Thomas, author of The Econosphere. Hope everybody's doing well today. Certainly the Econosphere is doing better than it had been. We've seen some really interesting data come out recently. Not only optimistic news coming out of the housing market in terms of prices, sales, supply, you name it. Also, we've seen consumer confidence come back. We've seen certainly the equity markets turn back up, appreciating at a pace that I don't think even the most optimistic people had expected. And this is all good news. And also, I should mention at the same time, I'm speaking to you here in late August that we've just heard that Chairman Bernanke has been reappointed, and that is it's a happy occurrence in the sense that we now have better information as to who's going to be running monetary policy going forward. So these are all good things happening in the Econosphere. But you know, it does beg the question. There will be people everywhere trying to, for lack of a better term, take credit for this improvement. How did this happen? How did this near depression end up into as a recovering economy, as a sort of blooming bud will hopefully yield new jobs, rising income, certainly more stable wealth in when considering wealth held in the equity markets in one's housing. So who did it? Who's in charge of this economy? Who's in charge of this recovery? Why did it happen? Well, the book, The Econosphere, goes into great length in discussing exactly where the economy comes from. Where does the Econosphere come from? Where does wealth, jobs, prices, happiness, where does it all come from? And interestingly enough, even as whomever it is, policymakers, bankers, capitalists, social thinkers, whomever it may be, wishes to explain or take credit for this economic recovery, the truth of the matter is that you are as much to blame or to take credit for the economic conditions around. If you look at where the economy comes from, where wealth comes from, where the initial unit of value comes from, it's not in interest rates, it's not in stimulus packages, or it's not in any of these sorts of things, in companies, in brands, factories, mines. It comes from the one renewable resource that we're all wellsprings from, and that is the human potential, the human life. You are born with ability and your potential lifespan, and how you spend that life dictates essentially how much value you'll create. You can either spend time consuming leisure, or you can spend time producing goods and services of value to your fellow men and women. And that time spent in the production of goods and services that are valued by other people is where economic wealth, economic prosperity comes from. So when you think about the economic recovery that we're in today, it's not the function of, say, a great political thinker or a great central banker or some sort of coordinated effort on anybody's part. Rather, it is the independent efforts of every individual, not just in the U.S., not just in Europe, but all around the world, all waking up every morning and saying, what can I do to be more productive, is where that recovery comes from, where wealth comes from. I mean, how does it happen in a recession? Well, you can understand what happened in this cycle. People just a few years ago believed that the best use of their stored wealth, their efforts, their intellect were based, say, on working in housing-related industries, accumulating residential real estate, in investing speculatively, in doing the sorts of activities that had yielded wonderful returns in recent years. And there was an information problem. One of the laws that we talk about in the book, that govern the econosphere is the law of information. That is that the better our information, the better the market outcome. Well, in the case of the housing markets, the information was good for a couple of years, but it was decidedly backwards looking. And as a result, people overextended themselves in residential real estate. And next thing you know, they found that their vocations, their investments were no longer yielding the returns that they had thought. Layoffs ensued, write-downs ensued, delinquencies, foreclosures, you name it. And that is a recession. That is when everybody wakes up in the morning and realizes that they cannot be as productive as they were the day before. And that's why the economy shrinks. So what reverses that? Well, you know, certainly good monetary policy helps. It would be nice if we had good fiscal policy. It's good that we have rules and regulations and functioning markets and institutions. But the real difference is the hard lessons that are learned and the difficult decisions that are made by individuals. That is, I am going to retrain and enter a different industry. I'm going to move and go to a place that is not as economically hurt by the downturn. I'm not going to spend as much. I'm going to save more. I am going to change my behavior such that it will allow me to be more productive going forward and move past those essentially sunken costs, the lost wealth that had been lost in the previous period, and move forward and be more productive going forward. So even as the show goes on and everybody wants to take credit for these things, it's about you waking up and saying, I have to make changes. I'm not going to borrow as much. I'm going to reconsolidate my debt. I am going to enter a field that I feel is going to be more stable or will have greater demand in the future. I am going to live in a different place. I am going to figure out how to be more productive. And that takes time. But we're seeing it today. You know, when we started this session, just chatting about it, these things that we're seeing in terms of better retail activity, hiring in certain fields like education, healthcare, and laying off in other fields such as technology or finance. Improving home sales now that prices have fallen. Rising industrial production, rising exports. These are a function of difficult changes or difficult decisions that individuals have made, and now they're yielding a better economic situation. This is how the econosphere operates. This is where the economy comes from. It is a decidedly bottom-up system. And if you understand this, and if you understand that your economic outcome, if you will, is not doled out from some sort of pool of potential wealth or potential happiness, if you take away this view that if you move some amount of value from one entity to another, from one group to another, if you give somebody money to buy a car, so car sales go up, those sorts of games we play during these things. If you wipe that out of your mind and realize that those are nothing but transfers, they do nothing to create wealth, and instead you look for those areas in which you yourself can create marginal wealth for yourself, and everybody is free to do the same thing, and information is freely passed among people, and capital is freely available, and trade can freely happen. And if we live in an unfettered econosphere, a holistic self-righting system, it is analogous to our natural environment. The econosphere is our social environment. If we allow it to function and provide for us, and if we are able to teach ourselves to see how it is providing for us and make the correct decisions, we in turn will have much better outcomes. And that's what the book is about, and that's what our budding economic recovery is all about. So as we look at the news reports and the new data that comes out, and as we feel things getting better among ourselves in terms of our economic situations, don't pat anybody else on your back. pat yourself on your back because you made the tough decisions, and you will continue to make those tough decisions. That's where the magic of the Econosphere is. It's all about harvesting your potential to create not only a better situation for yourself, but for everybody else that's a part of the Econosphere. And that's just a small point of what myself as an economist working in the financial industry today is seeing, and that's how my understanding of the Econosphere helps me center my thoughts as to what exactly is going on out there. So thanks for listening, and congratulations, Chairman Bernanke, and hopefully we'll see some good things continue to come in the days, weeks, quarters, and months ahead. Thanks so much. Bye.